ஓம் சாந்தி. I wonder, how was your meditation during the last half hour? Because there was quite a lot going on in this hall. There was 3 classes in the back going on for the guests coming to look, because it's Diwali at the moment. There was someone walking on the roof. So I thought it was wonderful, good chance for us to really practice going beyond. What do you feel? It was sort of like having a yoga buddy in a shopping mall. But really, that's our life, isn't it? To be with Baba in any situation. This morning I just really wanted to share a few thoughts about some things that Baba said in the recent Muli. In fact, I don't know about you, but when I reread the Muli, so many beautiful things came out I didn't hear when I was sitting in front of Baba. Is that your experience too? It's amazing, isn't it, how many new things emerge. But one thing I really struck me was when Baba was saying that you're doing very good service through words. You're doing good service through your programs. But now add something. And that was the words that Baba used. Add something. And Baba said to add rays of peace, rays of joy, rays of love, and give to many souls through your mind. And Baba said a few times that you have to do this simultaneously. As we speak, it's like my mind has to be a lighthouse, just spreading those feelings into the atmosphere. And Baba went on to say that there is a great need for this, and it will increase. And we have to pay attention to this double service as we speak, to donate through my mind at the same time. And if you remember, Baba asked all of us to put up our hand. He said, who practices, who does service through the mind? Can I ask who put their hand up? Virtually everyone. I find you can only say yes to Baba, right? Whatever. And I actually remember the first time I came to Madhuban, my first meeting with Baba was in the history hall in Pandav Bhavan. And I was maybe 3.5 months in Gyan. I was very, very new. And Baba spoke the Muli, and there was 3 of us. The double foreign season was 3. Can you imagine? 3 of us. And so the whole group, the whole double foreigners, came and sat in front of Baba, all 3 of us. And Baba gave drishti, and then he asked me 2 questions. His first question was, do you have one Shiv Baba and none other? So you can imagine, I was 3.5 months in Gyan, and I looked in Baba's eyes and I went, yes. And I should have definitely said no. And then Baba asked me another question, are you stable on drama? And I looked in Baba's eyes and I went, yes. And I definitely should have said no. Because as we know, how long does it take to absolutely become so stable on drama? But it's like when you sit in front of Baba, the power of Baba, it's almost like he lifts you into that stage. And you know, at that time in front of Baba, you can be that. You know your potential to be what Baba is asking you. Because at one other time, I was sitting in front of Baba, and Baba asked me a question. I can't even remember the question. He said, are you this? And I replied, sometimes, Baba. And I learned I'll never say that again to Baba. Because Baba went on for 2 or 3 minutes saying, you know, sometimes? No, always. You know, he doesn't, if Baba doesn't like the word sometimes. But in this Muli, I found what was really interesting when Baba was saying, children, you have to do this simultaneous thought and verbal service. Because Baba was saying that if you keep your mind busy in this service, that two things will happen. One was that you will easily be Manman above. And the second, that you'll easily change your nature and sanskaras. And that's what really touched me. That in a way, when I use my mind according to Baba's Srimat, Baba's directions, when I use that elevated and clean thought, it naturally takes me close to Baba and there'll be automatic change. And so in a way, I think Baba was saying, yes, children, you have to serve the world, but ultimately it's serving yourself. Ultimately, as we know, virtually everything is that I benefit first. And another thing Baba was saying to us was that we should follow Brahma Baba. And I don't know about you, but I sometimes wonder, what does he do in the subtle region all the time? Do you think about that? You know, I remember someone once saying that when you really think, when the soul is beyond the body, we're beyond time and space. That wherever Baba thinks, that's where he is. How unlimited is the service Baba doing? And in one way, what is Baba doing? He's just spreading purity of feelings, peaceful feelings, into the atmosphere. It's almost like Baba's doing 99.99% service through the mind, you can say, or that elevated service. In the year, he will come 9 or 10 times to meet us, and he does that little bit of, you know, service through speech. But 99.9% of the time, Baba's doing that service through that state of elevated consciousness. And yet, if I ask myself, well, what am I doing? Probably 90% plus, most of us are engaged in physical and verbal service, right? And a little bit, maybe, of that service through the mind. And I think Baba's saying now, children, that's good. He doesn't say it's not good, but I feel that he wants us to increase the account of, you know, service through the mind. And you know, how many years since I've been a BK, Baba's been talking about this, but my own feeling is that we only really do it when we experience its value. When we experience the power of service of the mind and how elevated consciousness and thought can really influence me, you and the world, that we really put attention to it. Because when I'm in this physical world, I see the results of physical actions and speech. But really when I'm in Baba's world, I see the result of everything which is subtle. And one thing that really changed me in this area was maybe, I can't remember how many years ago it was, but I had a week silence, a silence retreat at one of our retreat centres in Australia. And when we arrived, it was between Christmas and New Year, and I think there was about 30 of us, and we decided to have a whole week totally in silence. And when we arrived, we shared what we were going to do during the week, because we had to organize cooking and everything, because we were all going to be in silence. And everyone had bought books to read and things to write, you know. And we all realized that actually, even in silence, we fill it with doing things. And there was a discussion just to literally just remain in silence, not read, not write, but spend a week with Baba and my own thoughts, you know, see what happens. And it was really one of the most extraordinary weeks I've ever had, there's no doubt about it. But one of the realizations I had early on in the week, that when you don't spend time communicating and interacting with others, what I began to realize was how much mental energy goes into relationships. You know, we spend so much mental time processing my feelings about others, thinking about others, watching others' responses, you know, understanding my responses. You know, really, I think so much of our mental energy is engaged in just resolving, clearing the feelings which I carry in relationships. And in this week, just when I stepped away from that, I was amazed just how much energy goes into it. And the more I became, in a sense, detached because we weren't speaking, I found that I could sort of tune in to the mental environment of other people. You know? You could just, as we were working in the kitchen and communicating, I could just pick up the feelings from others, which we do naturally, but also I was responding by my thoughts, seeing others. And it was a feeling that the communication was really quite close. And I began to really just see how that subtle connection is such a powerful thing. Because I remember in my early days as Baba's child, I took spiritual birth in London. And that first time I came to India, and we spent 6 weeks here, and I went back to London for the year. And twice I had the experience of going into trance. It just happened naturally. It was like in my first year. It hasn't happened ever since. But it was an amazing experience because I was just, it felt, you know how Baba says, you know, you travel beyond the sun, moon and stars, you know, to go to the subtle world of thought. There was a sensation of infinite travel. And all I did is I came in front of Bap Gada, you know, Shiv Baba, Brahma Baba, in the subtle body of Brahma. And the beauty of Brahma was absolutely unbelievable. The beauty of that image, the shining face which just radiated and shimmered with love and purity, was amazing. But in those just few minutes I was there, Baba was just speaking to me. And I don't know how to describe it other than it was almost like Baba's thoughts were coming in my mind, you know. I was just receiving Baba's thoughts. And I felt that it was the similar sort of thing when we're on this retreat, that the more, it's almost like silence opens the door to service through the mind. It's like the gateway to serve through. The more I'm in silence, the more I'm in a subtle state, the more I pick up the subtle feelings of others, and the more I can donate those subtle feelings to others. Just like I felt Baba was speaking to me, just like Dadi Guzar, when she's in the subtle region, she comes back and relates a message for half an hour. She just sits there and she's just receiving all that by the purity of her thought. She's receiving everything from Baba. And this is how Baba's working. We're living in a gross world of speech. We have to, but Baba wants us equally to start working in that subtle world. Because I feel personally that, you know, we are in the time of giving the message. But I think soon the real time of being the message is coming. You know, we're speaking the message now, but when the upheaval begins, I really feel that we will speak only what is necessary. Have you ever had that feeling? We will only speak that which is necessary, because all of us will realize we have maybe months or years maybe left in this body. I have to accumulate my eternal fortune in this time. So every second I feel we will value to accumulate and donate, accumulate and donate. I really feel that. And one of the things which, you know, I feel, you know, what Baba's saying is that service through the mind is really the next step in Brahman life, because there's steps. You know, I often feel there's a huge step from being body conscious to becoming Baba's child. It's a big step, isn't it? Everything changes in my life. The next step is from a Brahman to a serviceable child. So I become Baba's child. I love Baba. Then I see Baba's task and I put up my hand and say, Baba, I want to help in your task. And so we start to churn and we start to speak the knowledge, and it's a wonderful thing. We become an instrument, and we all know the beauty of donating knowledge to others. Who has had the experience that you've felt pretty flat, your stage hasn't been great, and then you have to talk to people, and by the end of it you're flying? Who's had the experience? Basically everybody. So, you know, otherwise those thoughts about myself and how I'm feeling, once I start to donate, it's a wonder how my stage starts to go. That's why service is such an integral part. To give is such an integral part of our transformation. But that stage from Brahman to serviceable is one thing. But the next step is to serviceable child to angel. Because the angel only serves through everything that is subtle. Through my face, through my drishti, through my vibrations, through my presence. Everything of the angel is subtle. And that's where Baba's saying to us that, okay, now he wants us to step up and really serve in this way. Because one of the things I've personally really loved about service through the mind is that it's service through being. It's not service through doing. You know, a lot of the service we do is because we have a special skill, we have a special talent. You know, I'm very good at teaching, all that sort of thing. And yet service through being is the expression of my authentic self. It's actually the purest service because it's expressing who I am. You know, I love Baba, I remember Baba, I create that vibration and I express that feeling. And that's why it's just the cleanest service in that way, because it's just an expression of my true and authentic self. Because it is possible to do service through my skills and teaching when I don't have a good stage. It is possible. You know, I can be very clever. I can articulate knowledge. I can have great intellectual capacity. But it doesn't mean that my stage is good at that time. But service through the mind is really ultimately the expression of what I've taken from Baba. And that's why I think it's really, I feel, which is, you know, something which is incredibly special. And secondly, what I love about it, it's selfless service. When you do an action of service, when you speak, people will hear you or observe you and they can respond. They may say, wow, that was wonderful, thank you, and congratulations. And then often, you know, we begin to expect acknowledgement or response or praise for the actions which I'm doing. And yet, who knows when I'm doing spiritual or subtle service? Who knows when I'm serving through the mind? And that's why it comes from a pure place that has no ego associated. It's just service which is clean. It doesn't have that I want a response, I want acknowledgement, I want you to see what I'm doing, I want you to know. No. It's once again, it's clean, it's coming from a pure place. And even once again, for me, it's, you know, service through the mind will always uplift me. Why? Because to serve through the mind, I need elevated thoughts and feelings. So I always feel it will uplift me. Physical service, well, it does go into my account, but sometimes I get tired, sometimes I get exhausted. These sort of things happen, don't they? But service through the mind, I think, will always take me higher. And so there's many, many things I really love about service through the mind, because it's subtle. It's selfless. It's coming from that place of being. It uplifts me. And in a way, it's what I feel is true spiritual support. You know, one of the things which, as I go on in my Brahman life, the more I travel in Brahman life, and I try to measure my own, how do I know I'm becoming a spiritual person? Really, what is a tangible proof that I'm moving forward? I feel one of the main ways is the quality of my relationships. It's actually, you know, it's the way I connect with other people. It's my dharana that really reveals, you know, the quality of what I've really taken from Baba. Many times I feel that when I come in front of another soul, you know, all they do is trigger what's already inside of me. Relationships reveal to me what's already inside of me and what work I need to do. But I do feel that one of the main ways of helping, because relationships and karmic accounts are so complex, aren't they? We all know this. They're very complex. And sometimes we think, try to sort through. And sometimes we speak, you know, trying to sort through accounts with others. But often it even gets worse. Or it gets more complicated. Because spiritual support is different from emotional support. Often someone's going through some difficult time and I try to help by giving that verbal support, and we need to do that. But sometimes from a distance, just the attitude of goodwill has a huge effect. I often feel that just holding the goodness of another person in my attitude is the power that creates a quality relationship, and it really does service in that way. And so service through the mind, I think, to me, is a step where Baba really wants us to go. And for me, maybe there's probably three main areas where we serve through the mind. The first is my stage. The second is my attitude, and the third is through yoga. And the first one, my stage, is really, perhaps I could say, my example. I don't have to say anything, but just my example. When I'm mentally stable, happy, light, uninfluenced, just being in that state, people feel it. Once again, people do feel it. But perhaps one of the ways that we really serve through our stage is through our drishti. And what I love about drishti, you know, sometimes we have those drishti circles. Who's been in a drishti circle when we all give drishti to each other? We all know. It's quite powerful, isn't it? Because it's like I create an elevated feeling in my mind with Baba, and then through my eyes I donate those feelings to you. The sweetness and purity of those feelings I take from Baba, then through the windows I'm donating that to you. And I think, you know, drishti has such a power, and it is really like serving through elevated consciousness. You just think, the other day when we were in that hall down below, and I think some of us have been there when there's been 30,000 people, and you know, people moving, coming, going, then Baba comes and there's almost pin drop silence. And you know, when Baba's giving drishti, you can feel everyone's mind is absolutely attentive to Baba. The power of Baba's drishti absolutely draws us in that way. And I remember once, some years ago, there was a brother from London. in the early days, and we came to India and we had a conference in Delhi. And he was quite new. In fact, he was just here at the first meeting with Baba. Must be 30 years ago. He was quite new and he was a scientist. He did the course in London. He came to this conference. And then after the conference, we all got on a little bus, and we drove to Madhavan on a bus from Delhi. Not to be recommended, shall I? Took us 22 hours. And anyway, I won't go into the details of that. But this brother, you know, he had so many questions. And what he did, he would sit beside somebody and question. And once that person was sort of drained of the questions, you know, like this, he moved to the next seat. And by the time, you know, we'd gone about 15 hours, he'd covered most of the bus, you know. And just questions and questions. And really deep questions, good questions. And when we got to Madhavan, everyone was saying, what are we going to do? How can we help him, you know? He's just got so many questions. And it was like, you know, when you answered one, 10 others grew. So, Didi Manmohini was here in those days. And Didi Manmohini was the co-administrator with Daddy Prakashmani. When Brahma Baba left the body in 1969, he appointed the two of them. And Didi Ji, as she was known, was famous for her drishti. And so someone said, take him to meet Didi. And so he went to Didi's room, which is now the meeting room in the courtyard. You know where the meeting room is, right in the middle, right beside Baba's room. That was Didi Ji's room. And so Didi would always meet through drishti, just like Baba. And she had really powerful and loving drishti. And so he sat in front of Didi, and in 2 minutes, he had the experience, just through her drishti, of being a bodiless soul. And all the questions stopped. It was amazing. They just, because an experience was there, it's like the questions stopped. Just the power of that drishti. And I, once again, it's almost like Baba wants us to move into this elevated form of service, to use these tools, not just speech, these tools to touch people. Because as we know, when people are touched in this way, it leaves an indelible effect. And even the last thing, one of the last things I remember from last season, one of the homework that Baba gave us was, as the ancestor souls, do you remember what Baba said? As an ancestor soul, what Baba was saying, the benevolent act we can do to give to our brothers and sisters in the world is to see their original sanskars. Do you remember that? I loved it. It's like, that's what Baba does to us, and that's why we're so uplifted. Baba, even if Baba doesn't speak, because Baba drishti, you know, it's like in our memory track we have the whole part. It's like all the sanskaras are laid out on the memory track. Baba's drishti chooses to fall on that which is pure, original and elevated. He knows the rubbish exists, but his drishti falls on that place, and automatically we feel uplifted by that drishti. And so Baba was telling us to do exactly the same thing. Because, you know, I can remember when I came into Gyan, Baba, When I first heard that I was a soul, and I was working in London, I had a job in the centre of London, and I can remember so clearly as a new child of Baba walking down the street, you know, you're a soul, you're a soul, you're a soul, you're a soul. Who's done that, you know? And it's a wonder. But actually it's like I'm still very body conscious, and all I'm doing is really seeing where the soul sits in the body. I still see the body, but I now have knowledge where the soul sits in the body, if you know what I mean. Actually, then we begin to practice. And the next step, because really I can only have bye-bye drishti when I experience myself as a bodiless soul. Only when I have complete detachment from my body can, with the yoga of the intellect, Buddha yoga, do I touch you as the bodiless soul sitting in your physical form too. The more I experience detachment from my material shape and color and form, I become detached from your material shape, color and form too. And after a while, it's almost like I see the soul and there's just this plastic form around the soul that is expressing, you know, that the soul is expressing through. But still, I start to see the soul, but I still may see the weak sanskaras or the impure sanskaras in the soul. Baba's taking us a step further. Not only do I actually see you beyond all the conditions of the body and meet you as my brother soul, but I actually choose to focus or touch your original sanskaras. And I honestly believe that if we practice this sort of thing, magic will begin to happen. Because what I find for me in this life is there's the theory and there's the practice. You know, we all know the theory. We can spout the theory to so many people. But what I love to do is to experiment, you know? Like, use your mind like a laboratory and go out and start to really experiment. When I'm listening to someone speaking to me, actually see the soul and consciously look into the original sanskaras of purity and peace and feel or observe the effect of your company on that person. Practice. That's what I think Baba wants us to do. He wants us to do like experiments, because when we see the effect, that's when we start to practice more. And we start to see really that this subtle service has a much greater impact than the verbal service. Even, I feel, you know, sometimes we meet people who are disturbed, they're upset, they're not feeling happy at all. And we can say, don't worry, it's okay, don't worry. But they're still, you know, disturbed and upset. Just sometimes I think with the coolness of our drishti, and rather than focusing on their sanskaras of being upset and disturbed and influenced and hurt, see, hold in your vision their strong sanskaras, their stable, their original, and see if the power of your drishti can shift that feeling, even just a little bit. It really is possible. You know, I think we can't underestimate the influence of a stable mind. We can't underestimate in a world which is so unstable. And that's where I think if we start to experiment with the homework, use my mind like a laboratory, and I think then we start to see the effect and we start to practice more. So first I think, you know, the first type of service is just my stage, remaining stable. The second is my attitude. And over the past few years, Baba has said many times three things, three steps. I love them. Attitude, first. Vibration, second. Atmosphere, third. Step, step, step. And Baba said, they will forget what you tell them, but they will never forget how you make them feel. Even in the Lokic world, they say a similar thing. They will forget what you say, but they will never forget how you made them feel. And Baba went on in one of the mulis, I remember, he was saying, how do you make, like, your attitude spiritual and powerful? And Baba was just saying, as much as you remove the waste, and as much as you have cleanliness in your thinking, That's how effective your attitude will be in service. If my attitude is polluted, it doesn't have the power. And Baba was really just saying, keep your attitude clean. And then Baba went on to say that some of you then say, but Baba, you don't know what they're like, you know, talking about other people. Baba, you don't know what they're really like. They're so difficult. And this is where a few times, something which I've thought quite a bit about, Baba was saying that, you know, right is right and wrong is wrong, but don't bring it into your feelings. Don't store it in your heart. In other words, if people behave in a certain way, I feel it, I store it, then in my attitude I hold that vibration and I can't really serve that other person. Because, you know, what I've begun to think is that, you know, when I'm body conscious, I see someone's weakness, I see someone's mistake, and my emotional response is I get upset, a bit angry, a bit something negative towards them. In other words, it comes into my feelings. In soul consciousness, I see their weakness, and I will see their mistake too. I'm not simple, I'm not naive. How could Baba teach us if he didn't know our weakness? But the difference, I don't absorb it into my feelings. In other words, it just stays on the observation and my feelings still remain clean in that way. And this is, I feel, one of the crucial things these days. We interact. Most of us lose our stage because we keep absorbing vibrations and feelings from people. We take it into our heart. And then we spend minutes, hours, days, months trying to get out of those hurt feelings, the habitual pattern of taking hurt from others. And, you know, I feel this is such a deep thing that we become, to me it's like the definition of a detached observer. Right is wrong, but right is right and wrong is wrong, but don't bring it into your feelings. Beautiful definition of what really a detached observer is. So, I'm living in this world, and then when my attitude is really clean, I can actually serve others through the purity of those vibrations. Because to me, it's like, you know, I meditate. You know, I meditate. And then my attitude propels my inner world into the atmosphere, you know? And pushes it into the atmosphere. And I, you know, my feeling, knowing Daddy Prakashmani, that Daddy almost held the whole yajna with the power of her pure attitude. Because, to me, she knew the value of every single soul and she held that in her attitude. And even if other people told her different things about that person, she never let go that value. So the cleanliness of her attitude made everyone love her, but it's like she created unity. You know what I mean? The cleanliness of her attitude kept everyone together. And that's what I often feel these days, that in a way I've got to hold the quality or the goodness or the virtue of you in my attitude. It's like the filter. And when I do, you feel the goodness of my feelings. It's like a filter through which my attitude passes. And therefore, my attitude really begins to do that quality of service. Because, you know, atmosphere, you know, my attitude creates the vibration and my attitude propels my inner world and I create an atmosphere. And this, I feel personally, is the great service that we BKs do. is creating atmosphere. Because atmosphere speaks directly to sanskaras. Words will speak to the intellect, and they were forgotten. But the atmosphere, you know when you've been in an atmosphere and you remember, you felt so uplifted. And you know how sometimes people come to the center and they don't agree with what they hear, but they feel really lovely being there, you know? Because the intellect rebels to the information, but the old soul, it's like the atmosphere tickles the original deity sanskaras. You know, it tickles them and makes them feel something's here. I remember in Australia in the early days that we had a center in the heart, near the heart of the city. And there's one BK, and she's still a BK. It must be now 25 years ago. And she came to the door, pressed the doorbell, and I opened the door. And it was her first time this, and she just walked in the door, and as soon as she came, she said, "What is this place? What is it? I feel something." Instantly she came in. It's almost like the atmosphere of soul consciousness touched her original feelings of soul consciousness. And without hearing anything, she felt a sense of belonging. And that's why I think the power of atmosphere is such the attitude creating and the atmosphere. And, you know, when we do programs, if we really create the atmosphere, I think that is a great power which we need to do a lot more of. Because I've often had an image in my mind that imagine if your thoughts had colors. Each time you thought, you sprayed colors into the atmosphere. Just imagine. So, you know, your attitude sprays them into the atmosphere. So when you have a loving, benevolent, happy thought, beautiful pinks and greens and yellows go whoosh, 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 whoosh into the atmosphere. And, you know, and everyone could see. On the other hand, imagine if you have a negative, gross, angry, bitter, hurtful thought. And these jagged, sharp, you know, murky, grey, black, dirty, green, ugh, comes out of my mind. How attentive would you be to your thinking? If everyone could see your thoughts, how attentive would you be? In fact, they can see them. Well, they don't see them physically, but they feel them. This is what happens. People do feel. Sometimes, you know, I think one of the great myths is that my thoughts are private. I don't believe it. And especially we Brahmins, we're very tuned into feelings and vibrations. We do feel them. And that's where I think service through attitude, Baba saying, when we have that cleanliness, then we're able to really create an atmosphere wherever we go, and it does influence and touch people. Because I think, you know, there's some laws, like I was saying, I believe you can't hide anything. And people feel everything. They really do. And I often feel that if I want to change someone, is it possible? But if I do, just change my attitude. I really feel that if my attitude's so clean and I look it through that filter, just like Baba, Baba's drishti does change us. It really is possible. Because I think Baba wants us to make a shift from these old attitudes that in a way do disservice to the attitude that really serves. The shift from exclusive to inclusive. You know, when in my attitude I include everybody, you know, people really feel it. If people feel in my attitude, I like you, but I don't like you. I accept you, but I don't accept you, you know. That sort of things, you know, if you do things I like, you know, I will accept you. If you don't do things I like. You know, it's like that sort of some judgmental way doesn't allow us that attitude of inclusiveness. I'm involved in global functioning, and we did a survey of the whole Brahman family. Really, what Gentle Ben said was it was like a review after 35 years of international service. What do we need to learn more and upgrade? And you know, the two things that came out from the Brahman family everywhere were the two things they wanted: belonging and inclusiveness. That was such a powerful message that, you know, everyone wants to be included, and that's what Dadi G did with her attitude, and that's what we can do too. Actually have such a big heart that everyone can really sit in my heart. Even to sort of move my attitude from judgmental to merciful. You know, often we have so many assumptions about the way people are, but I think the attitude of mercy is the attitude of an angel. You know, moving from rejection to belonging. I remember once Baba said, the quality of a world emperor is that everyone feels they belong to them. You know? And once I remember Daddy Jenki saying, the most tamo pradhan sanskara is to reject. There is nothing more hurtful than to reject another, no matter how they behave. And so it's, when we have these sanskaras, even moving from, you know, having no respect to giving respect, I often feel that respect is the most powerful thing through my attitude, because it's like respect is knowing the value and holding the value of another person. Respect is the essence of communication. And so I think, you know, through my attitude, when my attitude is clean, when I learn to see what's good in people, know their value, hold that value, then just my attitude creates vibrations and creates atmospheres that speaks to sanskaras, and people are inspired. And the third area is really yoga para, and of course they're all connected really, but you know, the power of yoga is the power when the human soul connects with the one soul who's eternally unblemished and pure. And I just love to have a visual image, like an animation in my mind, because I once remember Daddy Jenki saying in my early days that all Baba needs to change the world is 108 souls having deep yoga with Baba. It's almost like God comes into a world when all the frequency of each human soul is very gross. It's body conscious, you know, a gross frequency. Baba is that pure, original, eternal soul conscious. And then as the few souls connect, their frequency goes up. It's almost like all Baba needs is 108 resonating at the same vibration as the Supreme. That energy in different parts of the world is making the shift. And I think, you know, what is the power of a thought? It's so powerful. But what is the power of a pure thought? Is there anything more powerful? And that's really what yoga is. Yoga is harnessing the power of pure thought and just being an instrument to generate those thoughts. And they're unlimited. You know, they say light travels at, what's the speed of light? I'm never very good at math. Something like 180 something thousand miles a second or something. 186,000 miles. Thought is instant. So light in a second travels nearly 200,000 miles. Thought is instant. It goes to the corners of the universe. And that's, you know, when the Atma, the soul, resonates at the, you know, the same frequency as the Supreme Soul, Paramatma, that energy is charging and a part of what we see is the shift in this world. And the power of yoga, I feel, we really need to experiment with these things. I remember you hearing, and it was a well-known story many years ago, that Sister Vedanti, you know Sister Vedanti from Africa, Baba met her in the 1970s and gave her the responsibility of starting service in Africa. And immediately she began to send her yoga power towards Africa, because it took 2 or 3 months to get her visas, plan her itinerary. So each morning she was waking up, she's very yogi, Sister Vedanti, and she loves this sort of thing, and she just visualized that continent and served that continent. And you know, when she arrived, she said on 10 or 12 occasions, people said, "I dreamt about you. I had a vision of you." It's almost like people do pick up the subtle effect, you know, of those thoughts. I even remember, you know, to experiment. You know, often when problems come, what do? We think about them and we talk about them, and the result, often the problems just grow. Sometimes in the Brahmin family, even we go through periods, we have those periods where it's stuck. Things just are not working, and we try and we talk and we have systems and management and organization and all this sort of stuff. It is necessary. But often the power of higher consciousness works. And I remember there was one center many years ago, and this was before emails and faxes, and there was a brother running the center, and there was quite a problem in the center, and he tried to fix it. It wasn't working. He didn't know what to do. He wrote to Madhavan. He wrote a letter. "Dear Daddy in Nevebai, please help us." And, you know, he sent his letter off, and a few weekends later, 2 or 3 weekends later, the whole problem lifted. Something happened. He said some new feeling came between people, and everything shifted. A week later, he got a letter from Madhavan that Madhavan formed a special team of yogis to sit together and send their yoga power directly to that center. And I think, you know, that's what I love. You know, often when we don't resort to the methodologies of this present time, talking, you know, we actually resort to the confluence age methodologies of using higher consciousness. I'm sure you've heard the story. Look, the biggest exhibition the BKs had in the 1970s was going to be in Delhi, I think at the Red Fort, or famous ground in Delhi. And they'd prepared for months, and for the first time each zone in India had built a stall, and they were all bringing their stall to Delhi to erect. And there was going to be dozens of stalls and everything. And the 2 days before it was beginning, and they'd built half of it, you know, the Russian president at that time was Leonid Brezhnev. Remember Brezhnev, the Russian family, we all remember. And suddenly he had a state visit to India, and they wanted to have a public meeting on this ground. And so Indira Gandhi, who was the prime minister, said to the Brahma Kumaris, "You have to pull down your exhibition immediately, because it's going to be used for this public gathering to welcome the president of Russia." What did Dadiji do? She rang all over India, and she said to all the main sisters, "Sit in yoga all night, all night." So all over India, the family sat in yoga, sending. And the next morning, someone rang from the prime minister's office, said, "Don't worry, we'll use another venue." But it's like, you know, when we use these methods, you know, of higher power to, you know, solve problems and deal with situations, and even as the foundation of service, I really think, you know, it has a special magic. And even in Australia during the last, 3 or 4 months, each week we focus on a different part of the country. And one of the sisters is an animator. And she made these beautiful animations where you're in the middle of space and you're coming towards the Earth, and then the country of Australia came into view, and then the part of the country we were focusing, and then Baba's light began to, you know, just pulsate on that place. And each Sunday in a lot of the centres we'd watch that, and then every morning at Amrit Vela send light to that special place. And I think we can't underestimate the effect of serving through in this way and the results it creates. Because I think, you know, when we then go and give our talk, it has its own magic. You know, the souls that really are to be attracted begin to come. And so I think it's really worth, you know, experimenting through these ways, because, you know, sometimes I feel that in the confluence age, how can we support each other? I think it's through the power of our minds in that way. Because, you know, sometimes a soul has a big task. We've all been asked to do things in service we didn't feel we were capable of. Anyone here who hasn't had that experience? And often our attitude, even our yoga power of goodwill, gives someone the courage to step up and go beyond their present limits to do something. So sometimes, just in our attitude, we don't even have to speak. We hold, you know, we have the faith in that soul that they can step up and do that task. Even with one of our family members when they go through a difficult period. Because on this journey, you know, sometimes it's difficult. We come to the wall of our old sanskaras, or we go flat for a period of time. Sometimes the soul feels a little bit hopeless. Just the attitude of support and goodwill, just through my drishti, my vibration, my face, can give the soul the courage to move through that period. And I think that, you know, Baba is really telling us to use, you know, the power of our higher mind to serve the world. And I think, you know, it's really exciting, before we do anything, to really use the power of pure thought, the power of elevated thought, and just see the magic. Because I'm sure in the final time there'll be, even I think Baba said in this Muli, you won't be able to serve through speech. You'll really only be able to serve through your face and through your vibrations and through the power of yoga. Anyway, it's about traffic control time. So maybe we can have few minutes of meditation till traffic control, and then after traffic control, and then if anyone would like to ask a question, then you're most welcome. Is that okay? So we'll just have a few minutes of meditation.
विनाश खड़ा आगे, हमें अंतर शक्ति सेना की रणभेरी अब फिर बजती है। सतयुग में अब तुम्हें आना है,
धाम में तुम्हें
सतयुग में अब तुम्हें आना है,
धाम में तुम्हें गाना है।
Excuse me. Just while a microphone is coming, if anyone would like to ask a question, I think one's there. You know, just one other story I remembered, that there was one brother who came to do the course in Sydney, and he was the captain of a jumbo jet. He flew jumbos. And because of the nature of his job, he did the first two lessons. Thank you. He did the first two lessons in Sydney, the second two lessons in San Francisco, and the third two lessons in London. And he met Daddy Janki. He told me this. He met Daddy Janki at the end of the course. And so Daddy met him and encouraged him and said, I'm going to remember you and send you vibrations at 4 o'clock every morning. So he sort of heard it but forgot it. And he said literally a little while later, I don't know how much later, he was flying his plane somewhere. He was at 30,000 feet flying his jumbo jet, and suddenly he remembers Daddy Janki. Just like that, she goes boom into his mind. And he looked at his watch, and sure enough, it was 4 a.m. in London. So, you know, just, you know, the thought. We all know how thoughts have that power just to reach instantly. But, you know, he just said it was uncanny. She just came into his mind and it was right on 4 o'clock in London at that time. So would anyone like to ask anything? Do you mind coming and asking? In, if it's okay, because everyone else can hear. Is there someone else over here? Yeah, please, you can come in a sec, after this lady, after this sister, you can. Would you mind introducing your name and where you're from, if that's okay? Thank you.
My name is Susan, and I'm from Canada. And I just wondered, with incidents like you just told us about, are they random? Like, can anyone do this? Or is there some sort of a karmatic connection when you're able to do that kind of thing with people? Because I've had it happen to me, and sometimes with souls that, you know, I'm not particularly, I don't want to say fond of, but...
What do you mean? You have
I know when they're in the city. I know they're going to be at a certain place. I know I'm going to run into them.
Mm.
You know, and it's not just one soul; it's several people. So, how does that fit in with the theory of serving through the mind?
Mm. See, I think we do. I mean, we all pick up thoughts from people. And often, you know, we're going along in our day and a memory just comes up of somebody, just like that. It seems to come into my mind, and I just somehow feel that it's just emerged, but it's often because that person has thought of me and my little receptor has picked up, you know, that particular vibration. Because we know, we do it all the time, and we know we think of somebody and the phone rings, all those sorts of things do happen because I'm a soul. And the soul, through the third eye, is always receiving vibrations. And often, you know, the thoughts we have are influenced by people thinking of me. You know, I do feel that, let's say there's somebody in my family who worries about me a lot, it can affect me. If I'm not really with Baba in a bit, in that stage of soul consciousness, which is that sweet detachment and loving stage, then even if they live on the other side of the world, their vibration can influence the way I feel, because these subtle things are always at play all the time. And that's why, in one sense, that when I'm soul conscious and I'm with Baba, I'm protected. Otherwise, it's like we're living in this ocean of swirling thoughts. It's like each soul is like has a little thought factory. There's a little factory up here just pumping out thoughts into the atmosphere, and they're influencing us all the time. Even when you go into the city, let's say you go into the city to meet somebody, and what's the vibration in the city, of big cities? I want, you know, buy, buy, buy. And you know, you just walk down the street and start to think, maybe I need this, maybe I need that. You know, it's like we get influenced. Have you ever had the experience, you go to someone's house or you go to a place and different types of thoughts come in your mind than you have in your own home, because we absorb the atmosphere. Actually, the essence of body consciousness is we absorb, we take. And I feel that, you know, one of the real indicators of spiritual progress is when we start to be less influenced. Start, you know, we're not only absorbing the words of disrespect or anger, but we absorb all the subtle vibrations, and hence our mood fluctuating, because we don't know how to protect ourselves from this, the vibrations swirling around from, it's not blaming anybody, but all the body conscious souls. When I'm soul conscious, it's like I have a natural sense of protection. But we still, you know, do pick up thoughts, and that's when we can, you know, just our good wishes can give support and strength to people.
One more question. Would you like to come to Toronto, Canada anytime soon? We have a lovely big center that's brand new, and I'd love my brothers and sisters back home to hear you speak.
Thank you for the invitation.
Well, thank you.
Thanks very much. If you don't mind introducing yourself too.
First, I think after this class we all feel genuine soul consciousness in an instance. It's an Om Shanti. So, Om Shanti. I'm from Israel, 10 years in Gyan. And the topic of my question is implementation. Implementation.
Implementation.
Implementation. I'll try to make it short. So everything which has been said in this class, beautiful class, enlightening, is a sequence, is like a rosary on the bead. It's like Sister Sudha yesterday class, it's like Brother Prakash the other day class. And for 10 years I'm sitting in Amrit Vela, coming to Emori, not so often, but coming, making remembrance, trying to make the drill, the famous 12 and 12 and everything. But only this time, after several times in Madhuban, what Brother Charlie spoke and the others has happened to me. I mean, I was trying to get rid of so many bad qualities. I wrote them down, I gave it to some brother, and he started to say, start with this one, and after you went with this one, maybe you'll go to another one. And I said, this is Mount Everest. I hope I live along to do something with them. And in one night, a genuine soul consciousness. I'm aware of everything. Everything cares and doesn't care. It's a kind of complete detached observer. But the question is, how me and I hope all the others are going to maintain this super valuable attitude. It's not even feeling, it's an attitude after we leave Madhuban. Because even yesterday, in Madhuban, at evening, we had a kind of debate, and one brother signaled me, put the volume a little bit, although I say, myself, I'm a peaceful soul, I'm shining light from above, sitting at the center of my forehead, I'm a peaceful soul, and still, even in Madhuban, the slights of the old sanskaras were trying to emerge from I don't know where. So the question is the implementation. What is the magic tool to take it as long as we can?
I think that is the question for everybody, in a way. You know, I sometimes think that in our childhood, each one in this room, one of the reasons we're here is that we've all had a few magical experiences of relationship with Baba, love from Baba, absolute connection with Baba, complete soul consciousness. Is that true? I think virtually everyone here. It's almost like Baba, the drama, gives us a vision of where we're going. And sometimes we have many of those in our childhood. But it's almost then as we grow up, it's, if you can say, the parent, Baba, steps back and says, okay, now create it yourself. You know, it's like, and that's what we have to do. And my own feeling is that, you know, all of us, when we go to university or we study, we are very methodical in our approach, right? If I have to pass an exam, I know what I have to study and I do it over a period of time. But when it comes to Brahman life, I think sometimes we just hope I will change. You know? I hope that if I get up for Amrit Vela, I listen to the Molly one day, all my old sanskaras will just fly out the window, you know? And I'll wake up and, oh, I'm suddenly enlightened, I'm suddenly divine, you know? And that's where I think, I feel sometimes we have to make a bit of a plan to change and sustain what I take. To be frank, it's inevitable when we leave here, other things are going to emerge again. But that's why I make effort to change. But we need a plan. And I can remember coming here many years ago and realizing, I was only sharing this the other day, that like the sanskara of lack of self-respect, we all know, it affects everything. It affects how I feel about myself. It affects my relationship with Baba, my relationship with the Divine Family, my work, everything. And it's a long term. We need to almost create a plan of change, you know, a systematic way where I can start to see I'm getting somewhere. I'm a great believer in doing one thing. And I really feel that many of us sort of think, oh, I've got to practice good wishes. I've got to practice putting a full stop. I've got to be tolerant. I've got to be patient. I've got to, I've got to, I've got to. And by the end of all the got to's, you're feeling a bit tired, you know, and burdened. Oh, I've got so many efforts to make. I honestly feel, if you look at the Sakamuli, where did Brahma Baba put his attention? It's to soul consciousness, because when I'm soul conscious, I will have good wishes. I will be detached. I will be tolerant. It's a natural consequence. And I feel the reason why sometimes we're Baba's children, we love Baba, but we're still unstable, things affect us far too much, we lose our stage too quickly, is because we haven't done the work of the first lesson. We haven't done that fundamental work in really moving into the depth of soul consciousness. We know it, we believe it, we speak it, but I feel it's fairly superficial. We've hardly scratched the surface. The beginning of the yajna, the first 14 years, Baba gave this amazing education where, if you've listened to Daddy Ratan Mahini, tells it beautifully how everything Baba said, they'd wake up in the morning, they'd sit in their bed, before they got out of their bed, remember that I'm a soul, you know, as I walk to meditation, I'm a soul using this body, you know, as I take my bath, I'm just the soul bathing the temple, because it's a brainwashing of 63 births to take it so profoundly deep, the practice, the effort, we have to do experiments, and I feel that if we really do that work of soul consciousness, we can sustain my stage in any environment, because when I'm soul conscious, I will not absorb. But the essence of body consciousness is to take. I'm empty. So I take your love, I take your respect, I take your support, but I take your insults and I take your disrespect and I take everything. But when I'm soul conscious, it's giving. You know, the essence of bhakti is to take, but when I'm Baba's instrument, I take from Baba only and I become the instrument to give. And the more I give, the less I absorb, the less I'm influenced, and I can really sustain. But, you know, I really do feel that, you know, if God comes to earth and gives knowledge, he knows everything, and yet there's not a sakka muli he doesn't encourage us to practice that first lesson. And because we know it, we think, well, what else is new? But actually, spiritual learning, I often feel, you know, in the Lokic world, we fill our intellect with information. We know so much information about many things. But spiritual education is taking one idea and going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into the one idea. Who am I? I am the soul. It's up to me to keep going, to fathom the depths of that reality, that I'm just that point of light. Because even the reason my yoga is not good, I believe, is a lack of soul consciousness. It's so simple. It's the first lesson where we haven't really done the groundwork, I honestly believe. That's my feeling. Yeah.
Please. And I think especially when we tackle a difficult situation, persons, then we apply it.
Mm.
It's the like traffic control, when something difficult comes, soul consciousness, it's not happening to me, it's happening to the body, not to the soul.
Mm.
Intact. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else, yes, do you mind coming, and then Manel, this lady, and then Manel.
My name's Laura Joy. I'm an Australian and I've been living in Britain now since 1989. And I've came to Gyan in Britain. And this is my fifth trip to Madhavan. And I agree with my brother from New Zealand. This has been the most meaningful time. And it's because of the lectures we've had. I think we all come and we all get just what's right for each one of us individually. But I'd like to share two incidences that have helped me enormously in a practical way, because I think this is what we're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Largely. One was, some of you may remember Daddy Janki, possibly about 3 years ago, giving us something that we could repeat. There were five things. One was, I'm a deity. The next thing is, I'm worthy of being worshipped. I'm a Brahmin, I'm an angel, and then we're one with the soul. And I have done this. I do repeat it. And I find no matter what's going on around me, and like all of us, it's getting, particularly in England with the recession, not getting very happy, the most growing illness is depression. the second biggest illness in Britain. And there's a lot of people that really are benefiting now.
If we can please just a little bit essenceful, there's a few more.
Oh, right.
Just a little bit essenceful things.
And the other thing was, yesterday we were told that on the hour to remember 10 things every hour. And I've done that since that. And no matter what's going on, I think it just brings Baba and soul consciousness in a very practical way into our life. Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you so much. Thanks for sharing. Manu?
I'm Manu from Sri Lanka. This is an experience I had about 2-3 weeks ago. I was in a group of about 30 psychotherapists. I just went there hoping I can serve them, but I've been working with them for 5 days. I was a participant. There was a foreign therapist, a famous one, who was conducting the workshops. And one day, the last day, there was this girl in my group who had a big problem. She just had it, and she just got information about it in the morning, and she couldn't do the work, and she was talking to us about the problem. So she was removed from there. The therapist said that she can handle it. But by evening again, I was working with a sister, a nun, two of us, and she was, she's considered the best psychotherapist in the country, and I was very keen on giving her gyan. I talked to her about it, but she liked it, but wasn't, you know, wanting to come to the center. And suddenly this girl came to us, and she said, "Can I listen to what you all are talking about?" I said, "Fine." And a little later she said, "I can't listen to it. The situation is still there, and I'm almost in tears. I can't handle my mind. I don't know what happened. Maybe a touching from Baba." I said, "Okay, I can help you. Just look at my eyes. I won't be seeing you. I can help you." And she was so determined to be helped that she just looked at me. All I said, "Baba, you help her," because I didn't know. I just kept saying, "You're a peaceful soul." I gave her drishti. It didn't take 1 minute. Suddenly she did something to her eyes and she shook her head, and I thought, "Oh God, what have I done?" But she said, "You know, my mind got more peaceful and more peaceful and more peaceful till it was all silent. And I couldn't look at you because some energy was coming through you. That's why I did this to my eyes." Mm. And I said, "Thank you, Baba." And the sister, the nun, this girl asked, "What was it?" So I said, "Are you a Christian or a Buddhist?" She said, "I'm a Buddhist." So I couldn't mention God directly. So I said, "You know, you believe in your universal power?" She said, "Yes." So I said, "That was the power. I was just the medium." And then the nun said, "You mean God?" I said, "Yes." And now she is bringing a whole heap of therapists to come and take the knowledge. So what really happened?
Well, I think you told us yourself that you just... You know, I do think, you know, we make efforts for many years, and we've taken a lot more than we often give ourselves credit for. We know we're effort makers. We all know we still have weaknesses. And yet, we've accumulated a lot from Baba. And, you know, Baba made you the instrument to give some donation to that soul, you know, through you. And, yeah, I think, as you said, that's exactly what happened. And she took something. Because I think often words wouldn't do it. It was just your presence, your drishti that really... And I think that's going to happen more and more, those sorts of things. And I think if we had time to ask around this room, you'd have so many stories similar of just through your face, your attitude, something, people feel uplifted in some way. Because we don't even have to make effort. Sometimes, you know, even to speak, you have to think and make effort. But if you're just with Baba, then that vibration, those feelings do their own work, their own magic. We don't even have to think much. You know, that vibration does its, I feel, its own work. So it's really wonderful. Okay, everybody. So we'll finish, I think, because the Diwali groups are starting to come through once again. So anyway, thank you so much, and we'll finish with a few moments of meditation, and then there's lunch. So thanks very much, everyone. Om Shanti.
कितना हसीन लगता हर एक नजारा।